Hello and welcome to Irish Pregnancy and Birth with me, Carolyn Coughlin. I'm a self-employed community midwife working in the Dublin Midleinster area. The mission of this podcast is to empower pregnant women with the most up-to-date information on all things pregnancy and birth by interviewing maternity healthcare professionals on a different topic every episode. On today's podcast, we're going to take a change of pace, and instead of talking to a healthcare professional, we're with a documentarian, director and artist, Irina Yeomans-Kinahan. Irina has compiled a coffee table book on breastfeeding, which contains photos of mums and their breastfeeding stories. What I think is particularly worthwhile about this book is its inclusivity and celebration of diversity. I'm delighted to have Irina on the show to talk about her book and also about her journey through pregnancy, birth and beyond. Irina, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you told me a story about a book on your coffee table growing up about breastfeeding and how it inspired the book that you are compiling at the moment. Would you mind telling our listeners about the story?
Yes, of course. It's by a photographer called Barbara Van Cleve. And she actually was raised in the Western United States, and she wanted to document other Western ranching women. And so she actually found her love of photography very early in life, but went the traditional route and became a teacher, and then later found her way back to photography. And so I think she was actually in her 60s when she created this book, but it features my aunt. And there are photographs of my aunt roping cattle and just caring about her daily life. But also there's a photograph of her feeding my cousin Sarah. And so I grew up with this very positive view of breastfeeding because I had that photograph that I could flip to at any time. And I could see that, and I knew that that was my aunt. I knew that that was a family member. I knew that breastfeeding was important to our family. And it just gave me this very empowered view of breastfeeding. And so I wanted to pass that on to other people. It really inspired me to create this book project, which I guess we'll talk about a little bit more later. I don't know. Do you want to hear more now, or will we talk about it?
Continue. It's lovely listening to you. Absolutely. Keep going. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, having grown up with such an empowered view of breastfeeding, such an open view of breastfeeding, I wanted to pass that on to other people. And I guess you can tell from my voice that I'm American by birth, but I've lived in Ireland for the past 7 years. And what I saw here in Ireland is that there is this gap. There's a gap between the knowledge and experiences of breastfeeding because formula became quite popular. Mm-hmm. And it's an art that was becoming lost. And so I wanted to help restore it. I wanted to preserve it. And I wanted to encourage people to pass that wisdom on and down to future generations so that they can continue it and they can understand it and they cannot be afraid of it. So I wanted it to be a bit demystified, and I wanted people to be able to identify with it in a way that maybe they hadn't before, especially if they didn't have family members that had breastfed. Or just as an example, one of the people featured in the book said that her mom had not breastfed her. And so when she was trying to do this as a mother, a first-time mother, she was actually doing something that her mother couldn't help her with. You know, so often we look to someone who's older than us to be able to teach us how to do things, whether it's carrying on through motherhood or when we step out and we have our first career, or, you know, we always look to those older generations as the wise ones, as our council members in a way. And so she was saying her mother couldn't help her with this very important area of her life. And I would love to save future generations from having that happen to them, whether it's through encouraging breastfeeding and having more people breastfeed and pass down that knowledge, or if it's the book itself serving to fill those gaps from where a bit of our history and our knowledge of it has been lost.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly exciting. I have enjoyed it immensely. And it's also one of those things that I just knew I had to do. I actually was inspired in the middle of the night when I was feeding my daughter, and I heard this voice say inside myself, "It's time." And I understood exactly what that meant. I knew that I was meant to do this project, and it has literally been the most amazing gift to be able to connect with all of these different women across Ireland. I've had such an outpouring of interest for people to be included in the book, and I had to narrow it down to 60 different families throughout Ireland. And it's just been incredible because, Carolyn, what it's done is it's opened up my own views and perceptions when it comes to breastfeeding. It's made me more understanding of different people's circumstances and how they make their own decisions. And I think one of the greatest lessons I've learned from it is that we're all people and individuals and human beings first before we make any other decisions. Our decisions stem from the identity that we hold of ourselves, our prior experiences. And so it's not really as simple as we make it out to be. A lot of people think, oh, you just choose to breastfeed or you don't. But a lot of times there's a lot more to it than that. And I wanted to include lots of varying perspectives because I wanted people to feel they could identify with even just one individual in the book, if not more. And how we feel about ourselves, how we identify ourselves, really impacts the rest of our decision making, what we choose to do with our lives, how we choose to parent. And so what I realized is what I heard over and over and over were there are so many people who thought that to be a breastfeeding mother, you had to be a hippie or you had to be in the cloth nappies or you had to be into all these other stereotypes. But actually, that's not true. Breastfeeding looks so different for so many different people. Mm-hmm. For some people, you know, they're career women or they're business owners and they're breastfeeders. For some people, they really want to be that nurturing stay-at-home mother and be a breastfeeder. For some people, they don't even identify as female, but they want to have that ability to feed their child. Mm-hmm. So there are people who chest feed. There are people who have navigated abusive relationships who've chosen to breastfeed. There are, one of the things that was brought to my attention in doing the book was, I think it's probably American statistics, but I think 1 in 4 women experience sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about how that would impact not only someone's entrance into motherhood, i.e., you know, having to have internal exams or how they would handle giving birth, but also how they would navigate such an intimate relationship that is breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And exposing themselves and their breasts or, you know, experiencing night feeds. Like, this book brought that awareness to me. Wow. Also, with my son, I would have been very much, I know we'll talk about my own birth experience later and how breastfeeding was healing for me, but it was so much a part of my identity that I couldn't understand. It was very hard for me to understand people that would have made an alternative choice. Whereas in the book, there are stories of people who maybe they didn't start out as breastfeeders, but then they became breastfeeders later on with their other children, or situations where maybe they experienced a health issue that put them in the hospital and they tried to pump and then they had to take a break and relactate and go back to breastfeeding. So again, it just created this empathy within me to understand these women and their different experiences. And it also gave me a greater appreciation for how powerful we are as women. Yeah. And how empowered we are through being able to support life through our own bodies or through the receiving donation of human milk from someone else's body. Mm-hmm. That's empowering too. And so there's just so much there. I could go on and on.
Yeah. Wow. That's so amazing. Yeah, it's such a fantastic idea, and what an amazing experience meeting all these women from all over Ireland. It's beautiful, and having this beautiful book compiled with photos of them and stories, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's such a great resource for anybody, really, to be honest. You know, schools, GP surgeries, hospitals, you know, it's a fantastic resource. And when are you hoping for it to be published?
Well, we had hoped it was going to be this August, but with everything that happened with the pandemic, that's gotten pushed back because I was actually scheduled to do the first photo session for book participants on the 14th of March. And that was just as we were kind of getting the clues that we would be locking down. So yeah, we held off on the photo session. And then there was a good 3 months or more there where I couldn't get out to photograph these families. And so it's pushed things back. I'm not sure exactly when it will come out now, just because we're trying to catch up from the time that we lost in a way.
Yeah.
But the perfect thing about lockdown was that it gave me the space to do the interview. So I did a lot of interviews virtually. It was like 83 hours of interviews that I did during lockdown. Okay. And now I've been traveling around to photograph families since we've come out of lockdown. I just recently got back from Galway, Clare, Limerick, Tipperary, and Kerry. So we traveled there for about 10 days and covered lots of different, photographing lots of different families, because it was very important to me that people see a visual representation of breastfeeding too, and not just stories in written word. I think one of the things that I talked to you about before was that I didn't want this to be a how-to manual for breastfeeding. I wanted it to be stories, and I wanted it to be a gentler approach to people learning about breastfeeding. And I think stories are such gifts. They're invitations to learn more, but they're not pushy. It's literally just one person sharing their experiences. And I wanted the visuals to go with that, because so often we think there's no one like me who does X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So for people to visually see, you know, a woman of color breastfeeding, or maybe a woman that's a larger size breastfeeding, or to maybe see that someone with small breasts can breastfeed, you know, there are all these myths that we have associated with breastfeeding and what someone looks like. And so I wanted this to be a powerful visual breaker of all those myths. You know, we have older moms who've chosen to breastfeed. We have younger moms, you know, people at 19 years old choosing to breastfeed. So I wanted to really capture a range of people that were externally different as well.
Mm-hmm. And I guess as society, sometimes women feel it's all or nothing. You know, if they can't breastfeed their baby kind of the typical way, then, you know, why should they bother at all? And it, like that, it's so important for women to see women maybe using a supplement or a nursing supplement or off the chest, or, you know, other ways of feeding your baby. And like you said, their donation milk as well. So it's important for women to be able to see this and visualize it and have the story that goes along with it. And I guess that in a way as well, you know, women who go to breastfeeding support groups, you're identifying with other mothers as well. So that's kind of what the book is about as well, as being able to identify with other people's stories. And that the healing comes in that, really, doesn't it?
It does. And that was the thing that it was so, I guess, shocking to me, is how many people didn't know supports were out there, like La Leche League, Friends of Breastfeeding, Could You? You know, they didn't even know that the support groups were there to go meet other mothers. So I want to bring that to the table as well. There are lots of people who talk about their experiences in receiving support. There are people who didn't even know lactation consultants existed or breastfeeding counselors existed. So that's included in the stories too. But yes, it's just to enable that sense of connection. And I think when we can see something, it becomes less scary. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden we can make sense of it in a way that until we see it, we can't. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you understand that from a birth perspective of, mm-hmm. you know, when people are able to see birth, it takes some of the fear away from it. Whereas if you haven't seen it, which I think we've stumbled into not that long a period of birth and breastfeeding being a bit hidden. So like with births, with people going into hospital for births, they're not being seen by relatives or maybe children that have already been born of the same family. And so people are a bit more fearful because they're not seeing it. They don't understand the process of it. And to show them what birth looks like through an illustration is not the same as actually seeing someone experience it in a live manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's the fear of the unknown, and I guess everybody's experience anyway is so unique as well, you know. But like you say, it's important, you know, to have it out there, a resource for people to access if they need to, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was just going to add too, even for young girls, like if they grow up seeing this book, they will know that maybe that bottle that comes with their baby doll isn't the only way to feed a baby.
Yeah.
So it's opening up that world for them too.
Yeah. And I guess the book you mentioned there, I think you have the picture. Do you want to, because I put this video up on YouTube as well. So do you want to show people who are watching on YouTube the picture that you're talking about of your aunt breastfeeding with her cowboy hat on?
Yes.
That's fantastic. And I guess, you know, as well, you mentioned there as well that it's important to know that you don't have to just sit down to breastfeed. You can do other things while breastfeeding as well. And I guess that's what you took from this picture as well, you were saying.
Absolutely. So there's a photograph of her on the back with my cousin Walter, and then there's her feeding my cousin Sarah. And, you know, I have to say I was the second youngest of all my cousins. So I wouldn't have actually seen any of my cousins being breastfed, but I was able to see this picture.
Yes.
So in a sense, I was able to see it. And this was taken in 1986. So it's been beautiful. So impactful for me. I didn't even realize until I was an adult just how much it's impacted me, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. So you mentioned also about your book, not aiming at explaining the mechanics of breastfeeding, but instead it's documenting the lives of those who breastfed and celebrating breastfeeding in every form. You've worked very hard to include a very diverse pool. So I guess, can you tell me more about the importance of inclusivity and diversity of the project? I guess you've talked about it a little bit there, but if you could maybe talk a bit more about the diversity of all the people you met.
Yes, absolutely. I think going back to that whole piece about how we identify ourselves is so important and how our decisions are based off of the identity we hold of ourselves. And so if you see yourself as separate, then you probably won't join. And so if you see yourself as maybe I'm not the breastfeeding type, then you might question giving it a try. But what I hope is that this book will allow people the space to indulge their curiosity, to be able to have something to look at and to see if they can identify with some of the stories or some of the people within the book and think, maybe this is for me, or maybe I could give it a try. And I used to do this. I worked with inmates in the States before I moved over here, and I would teach a cultural diversity class, and I would have them go through this exercise where they would pair up with someone who they thought was probably the most opposite to themselves, whether it was based on age or ethnicity. And I would ask them to talk about their differences. And then at the end of them having a few minutes to talk about their differences, I would ask them to go around the room and share what was different about the other person to them. And inevitably, they would all have their chance to talk. And every single one of them would talk about how they were the same, not how they were different. And so my hope is it worked every single time, Carolyn. It was amazing. And so what I hope is with the book that maybe they see a picture of someone and they think that person's not like me, but they get to reading their story and they realize, oh, actually, maybe I wouldn't have approached this person at an event or at a party, but this is actually the type of individual I would love to know and be friends with. And to have that feeling, that sense of solidarity, that sense of connection, whether they know anyone else in their world that breastfeeds or not, they would feel a sense of connection to maybe one of the people being featured in the book or a few people being featured in the book. And there are people that live in really remote parts of Ireland and they really don't know anyone else, or maybe they don't have a breastfeeding support group near them. So I wanted this book to be a companion of sorts that they could pick up. They didn't have to read in any particular order. They could flip through and they could indulge that curiosity, as I was saying, you know, learn more about these other people, and to have a greater understanding of things like why someone would exclusively pump. And how we should talk about that, because that was something that I really learned a lot from. There's a woman in the book who exclusively pumped because the way that her baby was lying inside of her meant that her nose was not open. Whenever she was born, it was very pushed against her face, so she couldn't actually maintain the suction of a latch. She couldn't feed properly, so she was getting quite anxious every time she was put to the breast and she would fall straight off. So her mom decided to exclusively pump for her. And what I began to learn from her was that maybe we need to expand our languaging as well, because she wouldn't consider herself a breastfeeder. She considers herself a breast milk feeder. So I think it's through books like this, it's through learning about other people's experiences, that we also enhance how we speak about various topics. There's another woman who, she's in a very male-dominated field of construction, and she talks about having to pump in male toilets and in her car around her male workers and all of these dingy, grimy places. And I think that, again, having these stories shared encourages us to understand that maybe we should create facilities for people that are looking to express, or facilities where people are looking to feed. So it's the book is about celebrating these experiences, but equally it's about documenting where we are at the moment. And I hope 20, 30 years from now, we can look back and see where, how far we've come from this point in time as well. Mm-hmm. So a popular question I've asked a lot of the participants is, if you could see any positive change occur, you know, when we're looking back at this book 20 or 30 years from now, what would that positive change be? So it's been amazing to hear what they've shared and the things that are important to them that they think have room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so amazing. So fantastic. Wow. And it's amazing how hopefully like things like that will change, you know, from documenting it, you know, it's brilliant. Yeah. So you mentioned that you'd like to share your birth story on the podcast. I think it's great that you do that. What do you think are the benefits of mothers sharing their birth stories?
I think that when we share, we open up that space of vulnerability and we invite questions and curiosity. Like I was saying before, it's curiosity is how we begin to learn. And if we are closed off from sharing, we also close off that ability for another human being to benefit from our own experiences. So I think it's important to share because wisdom and knowledge is passed along whenever we share our stories and our experiences. And I hope that people will benefit from hearing it. So from my own experience, I really wanted to have a home birth with my son. I had a hard time conceiving him. It didn't happen straight away. And luckily it did happen naturally. I didn't have to go down the route of IVF, but it took a lot longer than I anticipated. And so because it took so long to finally conceive him, I wanted to give him the best start in life. And part of that included having the natural vaginal delivery, having him at home, and breastfeeding him. And for me, I guess I saw myself as capable, but I realized how much I wanted other people to see me as capable as well. And part of that really came into play with the way I wanted to deliver him. You know, I wanted people to believe that I was capable of doing this fantastic and amazing thing. And so whenever that did not happen, whenever I ended up having an unplanned cesarean, it really knocked me back a bit. It really affected me. And I had to take time to heal from that because I truly felt like I hadn't delivered him. I felt really removed from the process. I didn't get to see him be delivered. It was a very weird kind of out of body experience. And it was not what I had anticipated. So I guess the great thing to say is all that transpired since has led me to where I am now. So even though I faced my biggest fear, which was having the cesarean, I have ended up along this beautiful path where I've become empowered, where I've become more myself, where I have gone on to have another baby, and where I feel really amazing about who I am as a human being and what I'm capable of. You know, I no longer need that external validation that I'm a capable human being. I just validate myself now. And that was one of the things that I had to learn through motherhood was it's okay to not need that external validation. I don't need everyone to agree with my parenting choices. I don't need everyone to agree with my preferred choice in feeding my child or birthing my child. It's okay. I'm a beautiful, loving, worthy human being. And that's just based on the fact that I exist. You know, I don't need that from anyone else anymore. So it was unexpected and unplanned, but a lot of beautiful things came from it. And with breastfeeding, that was the thing that did work. That was the way in which I was able to feel really capable when it came to my body and how I was able to give my son the best, even though he didn't have that natural birth experience that I had hoped, I was able to feed him, and feeding did work out. And later on, I was able to donate to a family who had the lovely home birth, but who had struggles feeding and having supply issues, having IGT actually, which I know you can identify with and you would know about as well. So it was funny. It was like, actually, I think out of the two, I'm really glad that feeding worked, because feeding for me lasted 2.5 years with him, mm-hmm. whereas my birth experience lasted 26 hours. And it's not to say that your birth experience is not impactful. It is so important. And whenever we tell women that it's not important, we are totally downplaying something that is, it's transformational. Mm-hmm. It's something that we only have a few times to experience in our lifetime. Maybe it's only once that we get to experience giving birth. Yeah. So it is important. But for me, I realized actually breastfeeding worked. I was very happy for that. And it inspired me to do so many other amazing things with my life, which included starting my beautiful business, Well-Fed Photography, mm-hmm. doing this book project. And then, as I said before, going on to have another child as well.
Yeah. And as a mother, what changes, if any, would you like to see in the maternity care in Ireland?
I think inviting women to tune into their intuitions and their inner knowing. And I have to say, the second time around for me, I was given that. And it was a completely different experience. So for a mother to feel like she was worth listening to know that whatever internal nudges that she was getting were worth validating and listening to. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that is our innate power. Like, we have that inner wisdom within us, but we don't always let it come through. Mm-hmm. Or maybe sometimes we try to let it come through, but those around us shut it down because they think they know what's best for us. And so I think there's room there for a mother's inner guidance and wisdom to be paired with things that are evidence-based, if you know what I mean. Like, yes. To have those evidence-based findings, to have those specialists, the people that are trained to be able to assist in birth, but equally to respect and understand that a mother has her own internal knowing that should mm-hmm. be respected and validated and paired with mm-hmm. that information and evidence.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess women sometimes experience negative attention when breastfeeding in public. Do you think there's anything we can do to make society more breastfeeding friendly?
I think to have it be seen. It's one of those things where I was thinking about even the picture of my aunt in the book. Like, you know that she's breastfeeding her baby, but you don't see any of her breast at all. And so for people who are worried that they're going to be exposing so much of themselves by breastfeeding, and maybe they are a bit more reserved in that regard, it's to know that it's okay. Like, you can feed and not show yourself, but equally you can also feed and you should be free to expose yourself. Like, I think that we only begin to normalize it by it being seen in cafes, by it being seen in places of worship, by it being seen in family homes, and where it's hidden or where there is this sense that it needs to remain hidden, there will probably be a propensity for it to stay that way. Whereas if we open up the door to it being seen and we invite that and we encourage that and we let people know that it's okay and actually that they're protected legally when it comes to feeding in public, then maybe we'll see more of it and it becomes normalized. And I have people featured in the book who are not, they were not born in Ireland. They live in Ireland now, but they were born in different locations. So I have a male perspective who was from Argentina. And so his view of breastfeeding was completely different to what is the very popular Irish view. Like, he would have seen it as the very normal way to feed the baby. Like, he was actually wondering why so many people at every antenatal appointment were asking his wife why, if she was going to breastfeed or bottle feed. He was like, he didn't even consider an option. He just thought, oh, we're breastfeeding, you know. And there are other people from other countries who would have experienced similar things where it would just have been the norm. They just would have seen it out and about as young children. Mm-hmm. So that normalized it for them. So I'd love to see a normalization. And my own thoughts about it are, if a man can bare his chest because it's a bit hot outside, or because he wants to mow the lawn with his shirt off, or because it just suits him to do so, I think any woman should be able to bare her chest to feed her child. I think we need to remember that breasts are functional and not just sexual, and to honor the fact that they're functional and not just sexual. Like, they can be both. Breasts are beautiful, but they also serve a purpose, and we need to remember that.
That's so beautiful. I could listen to you all day. Thank you so much for your time today, and I'm looking forward to seeing your book when it comes out. I'd like our listeners interested in hearing more about breastfeeding to check out the episode on Dr. Jack Newman, and for more, keep an eye on my website dublinhomebirth.com and on social media at dublinhomebirth. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you enjoyed it, please give it a review. I've been your host and midwife, Carolyn Coughlin. I hope you've enjoyed the show.